Hi, I'm John Edmiston from Cyber Missions, and this is session one in our series Time Management for Christian Disciples. You'll benefit by going to our webpage at cybermissions.org/3col. The three is a number, so it's cybermissions.org/3col. There you will find the workbook with these studies in it. You'll find the audio that you're listening to at the moment, and you'll find the journal that we're talking about, the three-column planner, that will help you to get your life organized and to have good time management skills. Now, there are four podcasts in this series. It's a four-session thing. The first podcast is the biblical basis, and we'll get into that in a minute. After that, we talk about pray, prioritize, and plan. That's session two. Session three is how to deal with a busy schedule, where you will develop skills and coping with the overcrowded life we live in the Western world these days, practically throughout the world these days. And in session four, we'll look at how to achieve a major goal. These four sessions build on one another, and so it's good that you have the workbook, you listen to this audio, and you get a copy of the three-column planner, because especially in the last two sessions, sessions three and session four, it's going to be very valuable to have some of that. So what's the purpose of this podcast, and what's the purpose of time management? The purpose is to enable Christians to manage their time well so that they, A, live sanctified Christian lives free of stress and anxiety and full of the fruit of the Spirit, and B, they accomplish all the good works that God has created beforehand for them to do, because God's created us to live a constructive life of good works. And look at the scriptures behind that one later on. So before we get into good time management, what's the problem with poor time management? Is it just a worldly problem for businessmen and people like that who have huge egos? Or is it also a spiritual problem? And yes, it's a spiritual problem. Number one spiritual problem is that poor time management leaves us in a distracted hurry. And soon we lose our patience. We become impatient. A fruit of the Spirit drops off the tree. And then another fruit of the Spirit drops off the tree. We lose our gentleness, because once we're impatient, we start pushing people. And then we lose our kindness. And we can lose our self-control or even our love. Or finally, we lose our peace. And then sometimes we can lose our hope or even our faith, because we live in such a disorganized state that we end up in despair. That's extreme disorganization there. So when we are poorly time management, it's very hard to have the fruit of the Spirit. When our time is just a huge jumbled mess, it's really hard to be patient, kind, good, and full of faith and so on, because we're constantly stressed out. Impatience takes over, and we start blowing up at people because we haven't managed our world. Our world's managing us, and it's all a big mess. So poor time management destroys the fruit of the Spirit. So if you want the fruit of the Spirit, you have to manage your time. Okay. Number two, spiritual consequence of poor time management is poor time management keeps us running in circles between low priority tasks and non-essential tasks, so we do not fulfill our destiny or do the works that God has saved, called, and prepared us to do. Instead of us doing what God wants us to do, we're doing what our flesh wants us to do. We're doing what the devil wants us to do. We do what other people want us to do, or manipulative people or controlling people want us to do. Our relatives and all the pests in our life suddenly take over our life, and we're out of control. We're not living in destiny. We're living in reaction. We're living out of just nothing good. We don't say no, so we can't say yes. So if you don't take control of your life, other people are going to take control of your life, and the devil's going to take control of your life, and you won't be able to achieve the destiny that God wants you to have. So poor time management takes away your life, because your time is your lifetime. It's what you've got to achieve everything that God wants you to do. So the two negative things of poor time management is A, a lack of the fruit of the Spirit, and B, an inability to do God's will, and they're serious spiritual consequences. Okay, what about good time management? Is that, again, just for businessmen? Is that just there to give them a profit or something like that. I mean, does good time management actually matter spiritually? Well, of course it does. And I'm going to show you why in a quick list. Firstly, good time management gives us a peaceful, quiet, and ordered life. It leads us towards diligence and towards a better life where we get to achieve our goals. It enables us to stand up to manipulative people and to reclaim our life and our time for God. And good time management gives us some basis for building self-control by controlling our time and activities. And then it enables the growth of the fruit of the Spirit because we are no longer rushed and frantic. And we could spend time with God. Good time management reduces fear and anxiety, which then allows the growth of faith and love. And it keeps us from an intemperate and uncontrolled lifestyle where we're just pushed around here and there by appetites. Instead, our life is ordered because we've managed our time. Good time management enables us to prioritize the things of God above the things of the flesh and enables us to do the good works that God has prepared beforehand for us to do. It enables us to redeem the time so that evil days are kept at bay. And it makes Sabbath rest possible, and it makes devotional time possible, and gives us space to be with our family, friends, and to have Christian fellowship. Good time management gives us the ability to do more of what works and less of what does not work. If you're caught in futile activities that go nowhere, you need to say no to them and take that time back for good things. Good time management helps us to save money, and good time management helps us to make money so we can be good stewards and donate to the work of God. And good time management makes sure we are not like the sower's seed that grows up among the thorns and thistles and is choked by the cares of this world. In order to be not choked by the cares of this world, you have to prioritize God, and that means time management. It means you're not letting all the cares of this world set your agenda, you're letting God set your agenda. Okay, so that's some of the case for time management, why Christians should get into it. Well, now we're going to look at some really deep, profound biblical reasons for time management. Sounds like I'm going on and on. Well, I'm a missionary. I've dealt with a lot of people, a lot of Christian workers, a lot of Christians who cannot manage their time and think it's just an unspiritual activity. So that's what this whole first 20 minutes is about. And I want you to really pay attention. The number one biblical basis is Genesis chapter 1. There, God sets out space and time, does the creation in 6 days, rests on the seventh. There's obviously an ordering of time. This is done on the first day. This is done on the second. There's a schedule. There's a plan. There's rest. There's day. There's evening. So God is obviously managing his events and his activities according to his timing, according to his perfect will, and according to a good result and outcome. God looks on the results of this and everything is good. So God has plans. We know that from his prophets who tell us about his plans and purposes. And he sets dates for things and he fulfills them to the exact date. And the prophecy comes true or the proclamation comes true exactly on time because God himself is a manager of time with a capital T in his case. The second biblical basis is that the Holy Spirit is fire, light, and love, and people filled with the Spirit are called to do energetic tasks. God's energetic. He works. God works. And God is fire. God is light. God is love. God reaches out. God is active. And when the Holy Spirit takes hold of someone, like Samson, they rush out and win a battle, or in the case of the apostles, they're called to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the world. God sends them out to do his work. There's a sense of energy in spirit-filled people. And spirit-filled people take hold of life. They're not sluggards. They're not lazy. They've got the fire of God in their bones and they manage their time towards a purpose. The opposite of the spirit-filled person is the sluggard, the lazy person, the person hinged to his bed in the book of Proverbs. And laziness is a sin and it has serious consequences. For the sluggard, we find that his field is a mess of weeds, his roof leaks, no one trusts him, he can't lift the food to his own mouth, In one of the Proverbs, it says, his laziness slays him and kills him. His poverty comes like an armed man, and that he becomes a failure. And that a little sleep, a little rest, and failure comes upon him with utter inevitability. So there's a whole bunch of verses there in your notes about that. So we find laziness is a sin and has consequences. What about spiritual laziness, the unfaithful and wicked servant of the Gospels? What happens to the person who just buries his talent or his minor in the sand and says, oh, I'm not giving this to you? They get thrown into the outer darkness. They get punished very, very severely. Now, if you think about it, they haven't committed any big crime. They haven't taken the money for themselves. They haven't murdered anybody. They haven't robbed anybody at gunpoint. No, the master comes back and says, you wasted your time. You wasted my money. I wanted a return on that. You didn't give it. You are lazy, unfaithful, and wicked. And because they wasted their time, because they wasted the opportunity of investment, they're thrown into the outer darkness. So that's a pretty severe consequence. So we find that laziness and poor time management leads to a hard, harsh judgment from God. I'll try that sentence again. Laziness leads to a hard, harsh judgment from God for the lazy, wicked servants. Okay. We also find, as I mentioned earlier, that we're saved in order to do good works prepared by God. So God has good works that he's prepared beforehand for us to do. That's in Ephesians 2, verse 10. And Titus tells us that God wants a people who are zealous for good works. And we find that in 1 Timothy and some of the other verses in the pastoral epistles extol the virtue of a Christian community that's going out and doing good things, caring for widows and orphans, and the true religion of that. So we're to be a people who do good works. And so we're saved by God. We're saved by faith through grace. We're saved by the utter kindness of God who reaches out to us. But after we are saved, once we're a new creation, once we're God's workmanship in Christ Jesus, he wants his workmanship to go out and do good works, because we're to be like Jesus. We're to be Jesus' head, no, not his head, his hands, his feet. We're to be his outreach into the world. He's the head, we're the body, and the body is supposed to do some work. Okay, another reason is that the renewed mind has a clear sense of priorities. We're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2, in order that we may prove what the good and perfect will of God is. So our mind gets renewed so we can go out and do the will of God. And as our mind, the more our mind is renewed, the more it thinks about the will of God, and the more the human mind is able to do the will of God. And we find Jesus Christ had a very strong sense of priorities. So when he went and healed this village in Luke chapter 4, verses 42 and 43, he's there, they're being healed, they want him to stay. He says, no, I can't stay here. I've got to move on to the other towns and villages of Israel and proclaim the kingdom of God there, because that's why I'm called. He also, in Luke chapter 9, 51, sets his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. He knows that this time he must be in this city doing this thing, and he's against all the advice of all his disciples and everyone like that, he marches into Jerusalem and to the crucifixion. In Luke 12, 50, he says he's got a baptism to undergo and he's impatient until he's been through that baptism of the cross, the baptism of suffering. So Jesus has a clear sense of priorities that set his agenda and tell him at this season he must be doing this thing. So he was very good at managing his time towards the purposes. And we find that with many other people like Nehemiah in the scriptures. We also have to redeem the time because the days are evil. If we're not aware of our lifetime, if we're not aware that our time is our lifetime, then we tend to fritter our life away. So Moses says, teach me to number my days so that I might present to you a heart of wisdom. He also says, that's in Psalm 90, verse 12. Excuse me. And Ephesians 5, 14 to 17, It says we've come out of light into darkness. We should redeem the time for the days evil, and we should make sure that we live a life that always does the will of God. You see, this world's chaotic. It's full of temptation. It's full of things that push us this way and that. And so we have to consciously redeem the time. We won't do good unless we plan to do good, and unless we sit down and think about our life and what we want to accomplish with it. But finally, in this little biblical basis section, we find that hardworking, diligent people with good time management tend to be those called by God for higher service, such as the Christian ministry. So when Jesus calls someone, he nearly always calls them for work. He calls Matthew from his tax office. He calls Simon Peter from his fishing nets. He calls James and John as they're mending the fishing nets. As he goes from person to person calling them, he calls them in the midst of activity. Even when he calls Saul on the Damascus Road, who becomes Paul, Paul is being energetic. He's getting on with his persecution. He didn't call Saul when he was asleep in bed. Sure, God can call people out of very desperate circumstances. He can call them out of drugs and alcohol for salvation. But it's different for ministry. When God's looking around for someone to do the work of God, he looks around for people who are doing other kinds of work with a great deal of energy, such as fishing, or in the case of Elisha. Elisha's there with 12 yoke of oxen plowing a field, and Elijah comes along and puts his mantle on him and calls him while he's at work. So God often calls people who have a high sense of energy, who've got their lives organized, who've got this stuff together, who are managing their time. So if you want to go from just being an ordinary Christian to a Christian that can go into the ministry and succeed in the ministry, one of the first things you have to do is learn to manage your time. And so we find the faithful and good servants that get a lot of reward are those that manage to double the money of the master. So God considers our faithfulness. He gives 5 cities to one, 10 cities to another, or reward to this, reward to that. And of course, and according to our ability to manage our time, manage our circumstances, and manage our results. So that's it for the biblical basis. Go to the website, cybermissions.org/3col. So cybermissions.org/3col. You'll be able to download more of these podcasts there, and you'll be able to find the workbook and to order the 3-column planner. God bless. Hope you enjoy it. See you in podcast number 2. Thank you, and bye from John Epstein.